good evening to you. Welcome in. It's Hard Factor 92.3, Nigeria Info and Herring Pond Harker Time Dial. 9 minutes gone past 5 o'clock. This question's continued. It's very fine, but Wednesday evening. We're discussing what appears to be a new nomenclature, or coinage, if you will, as far as Nigeria's political landscape is concerned. And that's the placeholder candidate. The placeholder candidate. Well, here's a story on this, cut to the Vanguard newspaper, captioned the vice presidential candidates, I neck wrong on placeholders, that's according to Igbini Abure, LP Liberal Party chairman. Now, here's a bit of the story. A three-time governorship candidate of People's Redemption Party, PRP, in Delta State, Engineer Samuel Igbini, a national chairman of the Labour Party, Julius Abure, have described as fallacious and misleading the claim by INEC that placeholders for running mates or any position was illegal in the country's electoral process. They argue that placeholder was constitutional, citing sections 29, 31 and 33 of the Electoral Act 2022, as amended, saying it was in the 2006 and 2010 electoral laws. Igbini told the Vanguard, quote, I want to say that all names submitted so far to INEC as candidates for 2023 elections are placeholders. As a political activist and a three-time governorship candidate, I'm compelled to react to the recent claim by INEC through its National Commissioner Festus Ukwe that there is no provision in the Nigerian constitution and legal framework for what is now described as placeholders in Nigeria's electoral process. Specifically, as it concerns submission, change or substitution of names of candidates for general elections by registered political parties. This claim by INEC is a fundamental falsehood deliberately made by it to mislead Nigerian voters and to cast aspersion on some political parties like the All Progressives Congress, APC, and Labour Party, which publicly disclosed that the names they submitted to INEC as their vice presidential candidates were meant only to beat the June 17, 2022 date set by INEC. There you have it. Let's discuss this development right now. The place of, but I'm asking you, what impact is this placeholder candidate phenomenon having on our democracy? What do you make of it? Join the conversation via WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. We're live on Facebook, I hope, on facebook.com/ Nigeria Info PH, also Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. The phone lines will be open, the number is given out shortly. However, I also do have joining me via phone for this conversation. Henry Akinye is a lawyer, a national legal advisor with the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get on with it then. Starting with the whole concept of a placeholder candidate and whether or not it's known to our law. So, is placeholder candidate known to Nigerian law?
Straight answer is no, in terms of actually finding that kind of expression in any of our lexicon, any of the bodies of laws in this country. And because it's election, there are actually two laws that stand out here. The Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria in 1999 has amended all of the relevant provisions in respect to elections and political parties. There is no such reference of the term, not even under the interpretation clause to that constitutional interpretation section, no such thing. Then the Enabling Act about elections, which is clearly just the Electoral Act 2022, there is no such expression expressly in our laws. So no.
No, okay, that's
but whatever that means by those who may have, let's say by poetic license or by some license of grammar, or whatever it connotes, Dio permits that probably in grammar, some word, some expression could connote something. But to say it's an expression that is expressing our law is no. But if it connotes anything, that is where we probably could relate whether that connotation is found anywhere in our laws.
Well, let's speak connotationally then, if you don't mind. As far as connotations are concerned, do we have any laws, any relevant laws in Nigeria, whether in the Constitution or the Electoral Act, that gives credence to the phenomenon placeholder candidate?
Arguably, though, to the effect that any candidate for any position created under the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and then recognized under the Electoral Act, for as long as elections have not held, and for as long as within the period that the Electoral Act allows, any candidate so nominated by a political party for sponsorship or for canvassing votes can, two things could happen, can by himself withdraw, or a circumstance may occur that it can be changed by the political party. If it is connotatively, then a person or a candidate, whether seen as holding thought, or holding in brief, or holding in anticipation of some other person who will take that position, then, well, we can say that it can find places in our law under the Electoral Act, that's in Section 31 of the Electoral Act that allows for withdrawal of a candidate, and then Section 33 that allows for a political party to change candidates, and of course, at will, provided the circumstances are valuable. Under Section 31, it is just the discretion of the candidate. It is not even required by law that he should give a reason for his withdrawal. That is how express that section is. It doesn't even have a subsection. The candidate who seeks to withdraw does not have to give any reason. Then if you go to Section 33, the political party that seeks to change the candidate must, of course, do so only in two circumstances, either by the withdrawal, as in Section 31, or upon death of a candidate. So we can probably, for those who have conceded, like, it's the first time we have heard this, of a holding court or holding candidate or whatever the expression is.
Please hold a candidate.
Hold a candidate.
Yes.
Yes, so it could be to that extent. But suffice it to say that at the moment a political party submits the name of a person as a candidate for any elected position to INEC, as far as the commission is concerned, that is the candidate of that political party for that position. As far as the laws are concerned, until otherwise, that is the candidate recognized by law, because he would have fulfilled all of the requirements for that position by the Constitution and by the Electoral Act, meaning that the constitutional provisions of qualification, the Electoral Act provisions in respect to emerging or being nominated through a primary process in the political party. Otherwise, that person stands as the candidate until either of these provisions in Section 31 or 33 happens.
Now, Henry, why do you suppose then that the political parties who are using or who are bandying about this expression, placeholder candidate, the parties and the politicians, why do you think they seem desperate for the expression placeholder candidate to gain widespread acknowledgement, as it were? Because from your explanation, relevant laws already allow for them to substitute the candidate, given certain criteria are met, of course. So, the persons in the story I read just a while ago identified, it's not new for that matter. It's existed in previous versions of our electoral laws. Precisely. So why do you think that this particular coinage was done right now and what appears to be a need for the expression to receive widespread acceptance? If, once again, it's something that could have been done anyway by the parties without a need to coin the expression placeholder candidate.
Yes, excellent. I think, you see, beyond the provisions of law and then even the philosophies behind the law, in the electoral process, there are a lot of indices, a lot of other situations that can sway the minds of electors one way or the other. The variables are such that could justify explanations at all times. I think I laid this foundation to justify what I think may be the reason some of these political parties brought up this coinage. Now, the political parties have had their primaries. They seem not to have issues with their presidential candidates that emerge through those primaries. And remember that when it comes to the position of vice president, which is created under Section 141 of the Constitution, it is not required that there will be primaries in that process, but that once the candidate for a political party emerges for the position of president or governor, he chooses that vice president or deputy governor. Now, the intricacies that have happened that have led to this, in my view, my perception is that these political parties that have raised this have had to meet up with the electoral, and the schedules, and the timetable and schedule of activities of INEC. And to do so, there are intricacies in the political parties that trust and rule may, if asked later to withdraw, may agree to withdraw. Because we have also had these experiences where someone may have held forth, even before now, like you said, these things have happened. And then we'll have experiences where they will refuse to withdraw. Now, that can lead to entrusting someone where they haven't probably been able to arrive at the prescribed candidate that would have taken that position, but because you needed to meet up with INEC timetable and schedule of activities, of course you have to nominate a vice presidential candidate. And remember, Dayo, that for the qualification of a presidential candidate before INEC or any nomination to be valid, there has to be a vice presidential candidate. Otherwise, the candidate of a political party who emerged as the presidential candidate at the primary will not be valid in that nomination. So they needed to do all of this. And now, why the pressure for this name? Now, society have also had other interpretations. Let me permit me to say here, some have looked at Muslim tickets. Some have looked at South tickets. So maybe the political parties have come under pressure to be able to sustain their electorates and their anticipated electorates to come up with this explanation. To say, hey, don't worry, don't lose faith in us. This is what we really intended to do. The fact that this candidate is here is not ultimate and not absolute, that there is a working in the process. So in all of this, I think it goes outside of the law, but because I'm in the society and I also watch and follow these things, I think this is the best analysis I can give, Dayo.
But what this also means, as far as the law is concerned, even though in spite of connotations and poetic license and all of that, since the law does not identify the place or the position of a placeholder as far as nomination of candidates are concerned, what that means is, if the person who has been tagged placeholder decides to not relinquish that position, decides to not withdraw from his or her candidacy, and maybe it is not yet the person's portion to die, what that means is that person remains the candidate in spite of whatever poetic license or connotations or tag attached to that person, aka placeholder candidate. Am I right?
Absolutely. And I think that's the position that the INEC National Commissioner of Voter Education was explaining, by my understanding. That as far as the commission is concerned, the political parties that have submitted names of candidates, it remains candidates. INEC doesn't know anything about placeholder candidates. I also know that the forms do not have such spaces. And I also know that the political parties too will not in any way in their communication and correspondence with INEC, in terms of filling up those portals and submitting their candidates, say that a particular candidate is a placeholder. Because when they have such things to click, it's electronic this time. So I absolutely, that's the point. What you have just said is, if at any, I remember there are times to do this. If a candidate is to withdraw, he has to withdraw, and then the political party, in writing anyway, that's the procedure. He has to do so in by notifying his political party in writing, and then the political party within 90 days will notify the commission. And then a process is required that when that withdrawal is done, a fresh primaries will be conducted within 14 days under Section 33 by the political party. So if in the event that the candidate now, wholly, put in quotes, placeholder candidate, thinks tomorrow about the benefits of being a vice president and this opportunity he has got, and knowing that there is nothing the party can do if he does not withdraw, and if his time, like you said, is not for death, then there's nothing the political party will do, I'm afraid. It will be, you like, call it betrayal, but
Henry, please hold that thought. We must go for a commercial break right now. The conversation will continue afterwards. Do please stay with us. We'll be right back in a bit.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Hard Factor Nigeria Info and Hurry Port Harcourt. Time dial conversation continues. Vice presidential candidate Anec Rwangon placeholders, according to Benny of PRP and Bure of Liberal Party as well. My guest, Henry Akine, once again, is a National Legal Advisor with CDHR. Henry, you're welcome back.
Yes, Zion, thank you for having me again.
By the way, let's talk some practical scenarios here right now. Whilst the Vice Presidential candidates of, I believe, the Liberal Party and the APC, those positions do not are not the subject of any controversies at the moment. But there are some other situations where we have some controversy brewing even right now, and that is the candidacy of Senate President Ahmed Lawan and Senator Akpabio as well, where two individuals were reported by the party and these individuals to be their placeholders, and those persons at the moment are insisting they are not placeholders. Whilst the APC has gone on to submit the names of these two persons to INEC as the candidates of their party representing their various constituencies as far as the Senate is concerned. So, based on our conversation so far and the position you've maintained, it stands then, correct me if I'm wrong, that these persons, in the eye of the law, are not the actual candidates. And I'm talking about current Senate President Ahmed Lawan and Senator Akpabio as well. And those persons who are referred to as the placeholders are the actual candidates, I believe.
Yes. Because the excellent improvement on the Electoral Act is actually to cure these issues we have had. Recalling the River State, we had the days of the K-Leg, when political parties could just after their primaries and when people were validly elected but could, for one personal reason, just turn around and then bring up another person as a candidate and then almost at will substitute candidates. Now, Section 33 of the Electoral Act 2022, as a matter of fact, substantively was to abhor substitution of candidates. The section clearly even prohibits the changing or substitution of candidates by political parties. What we have just discussed is a proviso that only provided in the circumstances where death occurs or where the candidate himself voluntarily withdraws. And Section 31 actually even says how that should be done. That is, the candidate will do it himself in writing and sign by himself and personally take that notice in writing to his political party. And the party is now required to notify the commission. Now, apparently it means that these two gentlemen, in the case of Ahmed Lawan and then Senator Akpabio, if this happened, I mean, these situations have not happened, or they have not voluntarily withdrawn, doing that as the law requires, which is extant and clear, unambiguous, and again, they were truly elected during their primary validly, then I'm afraid that those are the candidates of those political parties as far as ANEC is concerned.
Now, Henry
has also said,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the Electoral Act has also made very clear position this time that any political party that causes this kind of upheaval that we have had and then we're seeking to redress, bringing candidates that are not qualified one way or the other, not just about the provisions of the Constitution, but also through this process of primaries, if it is not valid, that political party will be sanctioned and the political party will be convicted, and upon conviction will pay a fine. And that candidate of the political party that did not emerge through a valid process will be disqualified, and the party itself will be disqualified from that election. These are deliberate provisions in our electoral act that if we're allowed to work, to consolidate our democracy.
All right, Henry. Now, talking about pardon me, Henry. Talking about consolidating our democracy. This placeholder candidacy phenomenon once again. Does it have, in your estimation, and this may not be a matter of law now. You've already clarified. You've cleared the air on what where the law stands as regards this. But in your opinion, does this placeholder development have any negative implications for our democracy? And I'll also once again use the example of Senator Ahmed Lawan and Senator Akpabio, because while Senator Akpabio's candidacy is being refuted by an ex president electoral commissioner responsible for that state, his candidature is being contested by an ex-president electoral commissioner there. That of Ahmed Lawan appears to have been accepted. And there is a defense for that from some INEC resident electoral commissioner, saying that INEC has no choice but to accept a name forwarded by a political party. But if any member of the party has concerns with that, they can raise that in court. But INEC cannot reject the name sent by a political party. So already, there appears to be some not so balanced approach to handling this matter from as far as INEC is concerned. So are we witnessing some negative downturn or negative repercussions as a result of this placeholder candidacy strategy?
Let me respond by first talking about the power of INEC not being able to reject. That's the position of the law. Now, INEC is not in a position to unilaterally refuse the nomination of any candidate by a political party. The question the law is raising is, if any person who took part in any primaries in any political party feels that anything untoward was done, such as even this wholesome substitution or change of a person who validly was elected or who was not qualified at all, approaches the court, and you do so within 14 days. Now, that order must only emanate from the court that this candidate submitted by the political party to INEC should not be accepted by INEC, then INEC will sanction that political party and INEC will reject that candidate. Now, what are negative? I think it's actually really, this is another coinage or another just unfortunate situation that the political parties and politicians are introducing again in our politics and in our electoral process. It will be unfortunate, really, that I tell you, it will mean that having the arrangement within the political party is a roundabout way of the Godfather thing. Now, we have thought very strongly about this Godfatherism. It's going out in a way, or in another way, the politicians have devised another devilish means.
So, Henry, pardon me. So, are you saying that even if the whole world can see that this candidate or the name sent by a political party to INEC is the wrong candidate, the person did not take part in the primaries at all? Somebody else took part in the primaries. Somebody won that primary. That person is the actual candidate. The person may have even received a certificate of return from INEC. But, not a certificate of return, pardon me. I don't think INEC issues a certificate of return in that instance. Possibly the party does.
The political party, pardon me.
Precisely. So maybe the person may have even received that certificate of return from the party already. But the party then goes on to forward another name, not the person who won the primary, of a different person who may not even have taken part in the primary at all. And once again, because the primaries are not held in secret, the whole world knows this. INEC, according to the law as well, witnessed this primary, know what took place, know who the aspirants were, know who emerged as the winner. You're saying if nobody from within the party contests that wrongful substitution, nothing can be done about it?
Nothing can be done, and it's no wrong. You can't blame INEC. Now, take a scenario where INEC actually even observed a particular primary, and then by their records, someone was declared the winner at that primary. Even if INEC witnessed when perhaps the certificate of return was issued, INEC will not be privy. Just take this small gap that may exist IMEC may not be privy of whatever would have happened as they turn their backs going to their own commission within the political party. Don't forget that primaries are party issues. So within the political party, it could well happen that after the primaries, Mr. A won and then have been given the certificate of return. Let us take probably even the Section 31. It could not be the next day. You will never know within the political party.
So what then?
A particular candidate has come to withdraw.
So Henry.
So what then
is the purpose of the primary? If after the primary that INEC witnessed, and the moment INEC turns its back, the political party can change the name for no valid reason, send another name in, and then nothing will happen. There's a possibility nothing will happen. What then is the essence of the primaries?
It does not defeat the essence of the primary.
In a way, I think it does, actually.
Sorry?
In a way, I think it does, actually.
Like I said, it's unfortunate by this character and behavior of the political parties, but not any misdeed by the laws or undoing by INEC, the commission, to say that INEC should have the power. You know, there's a way power is regulated by law. Now, you can't vest in the commission the power to choose which candidate to accept from a political party by the commission, by the umpire. So, say the law is extant, that is the political party that nominates a candidate. So, for INEC, when the political parties bring the forms on nomination of candidates, prima facie, on the face of it, they accept that as a candidate of the political party. Now, if there are inter-party issues as to the propriety of that name nominated to INEC, it's not INEC's battle. That it is either the political party or that members or that particular individual. That's why the law has enabled that individual to challenge what the political party
once again, Henry, even if the name is substituted in violation, in contradiction of the existing law, if nobody from the party raises any concerns about it, it will have to fly.
But fundamentally, that's how law works. I can agree with you there because
Unfortunately, as well, Henry, I apologize, but we have come to the end of the conversation inevitably. I imagine in the coming days we'll pick it up from where we leave it off. No doubt, expectedly, a lot more drama will unfold before next year's general elections. Thank you for listening, especially thanks to my guest. Henry Kine is a lawyer, is national legal advisor with the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. Henry, many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Dale. Always a pleasure.